Welcome to Turf Dudes, show number 50. In this episode, we are joined by Dr. Rebecca Williams-Wagner, senior scientist and laboratory manager at 3Bar Biologics, and Dr. Phil Dwyer, research consultant and category director at Turf Nanotech. These two special guests are here to talk about the state of biological products in the turf grass industry and an exciting new product called AzoRoot. We dive into the history and shortcomings of biologicals, as well as recent innovation around packaging from 3Bar that helps to optimize performance of these living organisms. Turf Dudes is a Harrell's Agronomy Team collaboration of Dr. Raymond Snyder, Dr. Paul Giordano, and Dr. Jeff Atkinson. Turf Dudes is produced by Brandon Clark. Enjoy the show.
Okay, so welcome everybody. Today we've got some very special guests, two guests, in fact. We've got Dr. Phil Dwyer and Dr. Becky Wagner from 3Bar. And today we're going to talk about an exciting topic, that one that I think we've actually kind of parlayed over the last several months, and that is biological organisms and how we use them to our advantage in the turf grass world. So Dr. Dwyer, Dr. Wagner, welcome. If you guys would please just maybe introduce yourselves to our audience and in your professional backgrounds.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Phil Dwyer here, and I'm a turf grass pathologist by training, studying under Joe Vargas at Michigan State for many years, working on epidemiological studies and like. And I also did some work in my master's program under him with biological controls. So trying to control a disease dollar spot with a microorganism. And from that, I got a real interest in the potential and the challenges of microbial inoculants and applications into professional turf. I since went on to work at Scotts Miracle-Gro for 16 years, leading lawn and lawn product development, innovation on that front. I now work full-time for a company called NanoYield, where I lead the turf grass development products there. Now I've partnered with 3Bar Biologics on a side project here. It was called consulting with them on how do we bring a unique organism into the professional turf realm for some pretty unique benefits that we're going to talk about here today.
Hi, I'm Becky Wagner. I am the principal scientist at 3Bar Biologics. I've been in my role there for about 6.5 years. It's a startup, it's a small business, and so I wear many hats, but I would say the one I like to wear the most is around product development. And so we do sort of more business-to-business type work, and it's really around developing microbial products traditionally for us in ag, but we're trying to branch out, and we'll talk about that here today, how we're branching into different markets. And I'm a microbiologist by training, so I did my graduate work at The Ohio State University in microbiology, and so that's really my background. I've got a lot of experience from a biochemical and a gene regulatory background, I guess, and then I've been at 3Bar really kind of developing our microbial products.
Awesome. Well, as we get into the discussion today, I know one of the big things we're going to talk about is a new product that 3Bar is launching into the turf market. That product is called AzoRoot. And before we get into the kind of nitty gritty details, can either one of you just give me a quick overview of what is AzoRoot and why it's important, and what are you guys excited most about for bringing this product into the turf space?
Yeah, sure. So as we look at what is AzoRoot. So AzoRoot is a new offering that takes a well-proven, well-studied Azospirillium brasilens. This is a bacterium that has a unique ability to colonize plant roots. So that is, it's been a holy grail. How do we commercialize this? It's been studied for decades, this organism. But AzoRoot, for the first time, and we'll dive deeper into this through today's podcast, but for the first time, AzoRoot is now available in a unique packaging system that allows the superintendent, the turf grass manager, to activate that to get fresh, high concentrations of this microbes, that we get the benefits in rooting and plant health and plant response that it can provide.
Yeah, it's you mentioned Azospirillium being a well-studied bacterium. I mean, I think there's there's likely and has been some challenges within our space to how we get this thing to perform effectively. And so I think 3Bar, I think, has some very unique packaging innovation that is going to really change the game when it comes to how we use some of these biological organisms. And that's pretty exciting. So with that, I mean, how is this azo root product unique from anything else we've seen in the market before?
Yeah. So as we look at what's making this unique, decades of research on the organism, if we look at the academic studies, they're tremendous. The challenge has been, how do we get the right numbers of live azo spirillum into our spray tank so that they can provide the benefits once applied to the turf? So what's unique here is that 3Bar has figured out a way how to create a live system so that the superintendent's activating this organism when they need it, so that it's coming to you fresh. The challenge in many of the other ones has been they've tried refrigeration to send the organism. They've put it in a jug with a limited life period. And so here Becky will talk a little bit more about how we get those fresh high numbers with their unique system.
You know, so Phil kind of alluded that with the challenge with these products is really centered around delivery. Products like AzoRoot, as far as having the same microbe, have been on the market before, but you know, the challenge has been maintaining their viability through the supply chain. And that's because traditionally they're fermented in these large tanks, and then they're packaged and they're sent off into the supply chain. And that supply chain model was built for chemistries. Mm-hmm. And so we have a supply chain that really has kind of failed these microbial products. And so with our packaging, we're actually just putting a small amount of like a seed culture in the package. And then the superintendent, the end user, plays an active role in growing the microbe themselves. And so they're actually fermenting it in the final package just before they want to apply it. And so they know that they've got a live, fresh culture that's going down in the field.
You know, we've had others on this podcast. A couple months ago, we had Dr. Ming-Yi Chu from Rutgers, who's done a lot of work with microbial organisms, and he's got a keen interest in the rhizosphere and the phylosphere and the dynamics there. And it's one of those things where when we talk about living organisms, particularly when we try to implement them into our systems, that is the ultimate challenge, is making sure, A, they're alive, and B, there's enough of them to do something, right? And so this innovation and what 3Bar has come up with, I think, is absolutely brilliant. And it's solving a major hurdle that we've had for decades that Phil just mentioned within our industry.
Yeah, Becky, you know, I think we have an inherent and growing desire to have active and biology that provides an agronomic benefit to our end users. And so I think your organization and the novel packaging approach that you have really attracted us to this opportunity. And you know, once the end user receives the product, can you describe a little bit how that packaging works on behalf of the end user?
So, you know, I keep throwing around the term fermentation, and that's really just a fancy way of saying that you're growing a batch culture. And so the package itself is a way to do that fermentation on site. And so when you look at the package, the closest thing I can equate it to that somebody might have seen would be kind of boxed wine, because really that's what it is. It's a box. And within that box is a bag system that has a cap on it. So it's a two-chambered system. The cap at the top has a dried kind of starter culture, a seed inoculum is what we like to call it. It's just a small amount of that azospirillum bacteria that has been dried and stabilized so that it's dormant, but it's still alive. And really all this does is it provides that starter culture. The bag portion has nutrients in it, or basically the food that the microbes need to be able to grow. And so they're kept separated right up until the end user wants to activate it. When they activate it, they're basically combining that inoculum with the food source. And that happens by just twisting the cap. that punctures that separation between the two chambers and combines them. You might give it a little bit of a shake. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, vigorous, just a little bit, just to make sure everything's kind of mixed in. And once the bacteria are combined with the food source, they reawaken and they start to multiply and divide. And so you go from having a really small amount of bacteria in the cap to having billions of cells. And this happens, you know, just at your ambient room temperature. You know, I would recommend it be, you know, comfortable room temperature for you is going to be comfortable for the bacteria. And that's really what's going to help them grow. And you know, for this particular strain, it takes about 48 to 72 hours to really get at that maximum viability in the package. So we talked about making sure that they're alive and that you have the right number. You know, if you can wait at least 3 days before you apply it, that's really going to ensure that that number is where it needs to be. This bacteria, you know, it produces a lot of different metabolites that are helpful for the plant too. And so if they can wait even 7 days, they may see an added benefit because more of those molecules will have accumulated in the package itself. And the bacteria, once they're activated, will remain viable for 28 days. So there's a good window that the end user can have to actually apply them.
I really like that the end user plays an active role in getting the whole process going. And I think that's, you know, so much associated with the novelty of what you're doing and helping preserve the bioactivity of this organism. And through our testing and vetting process, you know, we've seen that this technique works and, you know, has agronomic benefit. And so that's gotten us excited for the future, I guess, working with you folks. You know, are there other organisms that perhaps we can expect in the future to utilize a similar technique? We're already thinking about the next one.
Yeah, the package really is unique because it can be used with a lot of different microbes, particularly bacteria. We haven't worked with any fungal species for this packaging. But really what's required is that the bacteria be kind of a fast grower. So, you know, end users don't really want to have to wait, you know, a really long time for the microbe to grow. So a couple of days for the microbe to grow. And it needs to be tolerant of low oxygen conditions. When these types of products are made in the traditional path, they're done in like I said, a large steel fermenter, and oxygen and air is typically pumped into those bioreactors to ensure that the microbes have access to that. And that really helps push those numbers, which is needed in a system where they're going to be packaged and then sent off into the supply chain. And honestly, a lot of them may die just because of the reality of the supply chain. With our packaging, we're not pumping in any of that extra oxygen. And so the microbes have to be able to grow with the oxygen that's there in a passive system. Fortunately, there are a lot of microbes that can do this. So it really does make it a packaging system that can be applied to a lot of different bacteria. Phil and I have been scheming, and we'll see what we come up with for future products. But yeah, definitely looking forward to doing this again.
Yeah, and to build on that, Raymond, as we look at what's known in the scientific literature, you know, Paul and I, as pathologists going through graduate school, taking microbial ecology courses and such, there's so much potential out there. There are so many research groups that over time you've got master's students, PhD students, postdocs, whole programs working on the novelty of these microbial inoculants. And then the challenge is, how do I get the right rate at an economical, you know, affordable delivery to our customers so that they see that benefit and they can compare, I'm going to get these biological benefits versus nutritional or other inputs that they may be limited to for other agronomic reasons. And so the potential here, this unique packaging system solves the cost of shipping. I mean, right now, this new Harold's offering, this azo root, will be at a lower price than a comparable system that was over 20 years ago. So imagine how many more people will be able to use this in their programs. And so offering the superintendent, the turf grass manager's flexibility. And hey, I can activate this, you know, 2 to 3 days before I need it, but then it's going to stay at a high concentration for up to 28 days. Okay, it rained, I couldn't get out there, or something else came up, I can still use this product and it is fresh at a very high concentration. That's what we're solving for, getting the right rate of those microbes with known benefits at the right rate and concentration so that they do what the research has shown.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think that your technique just really reinforced confidence upon the Harrell's group that we were going to get a viable microbial experience, you know, as part of our vetting process. So that definitely attracted us to your offering.
Yeah. And I think to kind of build on the point one of you made earlier is that the appetite for these biological products has been in our market for a long time. I mean, whether it's folks that are looking to get away from more traditional chemistries, but even just knowing at a smaller scale, right, in a laboratory setting, we know these things can work. But it always falls apart at the end user level because there's either too many hurdles for a golf course superintendent or a turf manager to have to do. They have to refrigerate things. They have to use it within a couple days of it being delivered. And those things aren't necessarily easy to accomplish, especially when you have a million other things going on agronomically. So with this, I mean, help me understand, like, okay, so in a dormant state, before we activate that product, you know, what is that shelf life? How long can, from delivery to the golf course superintendent, how long can they sit on that package before they activate it and use it and it still be viable?
Yeah, we've been testing this and we can say for now, we are comfortable with a 9-month shelf life. So once that package is delivered and it's kept, it doesn't need to be refrigerated. But, you know, don't expose it to, you know, 100 degree temperatures or sure, you know, really, really hot temperatures. But, you know, ambient room temperature, it's good for 9 months. So you can leave it unactivated for 9 months. And then once you activate it, then you have that additional 28 days before it needs to be used for maximum viability.
And for comparison, I mean, when we look at products, similar azo type products in the past, I mean, what would their traditional shelf life be? Because again, they're already in an activated state. They're already growing in a jug of some sort or they're in a powdered form. And what would those shelf lives typically be?
Phil, do you want to take this one? I think you probably have a little more experience than yeah, I do on it.
Yeah. It is unknown like how they're being formulated. From what we're seeing, there's a limit here. So from our work, we're saying once it's activated, 28 days. And so that's what we're recommending people use this in. Others, if I don't know if they figured out something else to prolong it, we have done some due diligence looking at different brands of azo. There's some other products out there, competitive products, and I'm not going to name any names, but one of them we analyzed as a microbiology lab and didn't find azo in it. So there was no living azo in that container. So And that's a challenge for state regulators who are allowing these products to be sold. They're sold on a guaranteed analysis of colony forming units per milliliter of solution. And we have put that right on the front of our label. And to begin, in our system multiplies that exponentially to, as Becky said before, billions and billions of these microbes are going to go out so that they match the application rate necessary shown by the prior research. So we've got something that will be unmatched in the market for fresh, high concentrations. Analogy I use is like, if I told you to go out and put 0.1 ounces of chlorothalonil out for a dollar spot once a month, you'd look at me and say, well, that's not gonna do anything. Correct. And so a lot of these other competitive products that are out there, they have something in them, but they're likely not getting out at high enough rates to do what this organism is doing, getting the correct rate. That's what we're bringing here.
Sure. Yeah, and I think we become so accustomed to using synthetic chemistries, and the assumption is that the analysis in the jug is the analysis, right? You are getting that particular percentage of active ingredient. With these living microbes, that is a dynamic process. They are growing and dying all the time, and particularly after being put into a liquid growth medium and being shipped through the supply chain, they are dying day by day. And so this is ensuring that we are getting, like you said, the known concentration, the highest level of bacterial cells that we can inoculate onto our turf. That's fantastic. So if I'm an end user, I get the package.
Can we move on, actually?
Sorry,
before we move on, I just wanted to piggyback on what Phil said too about similar products. When we've looked at those similar products, the guaranteed analysis on the label is often much lower than what we can achieve in our live microbe system, 1,000-fold. So there is sort of a difference in those numbers. And then I just wanted to make a point too that this bacterial species is very commonly used in South America, in Brazil. It's pretty widely accepted there. But the regulatory infrastructure is actually more substantial in Brazil. And so there are minimum requirements as far as the label guarantee. And for these products, it's in line with what we can produce in our live microbe system. And so they see good results in Brazil because of that regulation. And we don't have that here. But what I can say is that the live microbe system is in line with what is expected in Brazil.
Sure. I think that's a good point. I mean, in a way, I've always looked at the biological product market, not just in turf grass, but really throughout the agricultural setting as kind of the Wild West. And I think this is standardizing the analysis in a way that is important, and perhaps the regulatory environment does catch up and we start to, you know, mandate that what the label says is what the end user is getting. But this is a way to ensure that. And it's a, again, a fantastic innovation around that. So we've talked about the ease of use, the shelf life, you know, at the end user level. And so based on the work that you all have accomplished, you know, how often should somebody be using this? When should they be applying it? How do they apply it? And then how often should they be using it to achieve the best benefit?
Yeah, sure. What we have found from the prior research and current research, which Harrell's and 3Bar sponsored at Virginia Tech, was to apply every 14 days or 28 days. I would do it every other week, so every 14 days in the shoulder seasons. I want to deliver this to the turf when I've got the greatest potential for biological root growth. If I'm in the north, once we start mowing there, the first 2 months, April, May, into the beginning of June, and then again at fall aerification, September is an awesome root growing month. So September into early October would be the second period. So in the south, when your C4 grasses are growing roots throughout the season, anytime will work there as well. But to get the maximum potential here, let's focus on those shoulder parts of the season for root growth. One important piece here is that this is a soil microbe. It needs to be delivered into the soil. Just like a surfactant that we water in correctly because we know where it needs to be directed after application, these organisms have to be, they're live. We want to get them to the root, and so water them in after application. A couple turns of the head, as much as you can, will be helpful there.
Great. Seems, again, pretty straightforward. This is a product that I think fits really well into root-targeted programs or soil-targeted programs that many of our customers are already using, be it wetting agents, be it products like a Mycorrhizae Pro, which is something that we had a discussion on this podcast a few months back. But I think it fits very well into those sorts of strategies. And I mean, can you maybe speak on how this works in tandem with maybe other biostimulants or other biologicals for that matter? Maybe
any experience ahead there? Yeah, so we'll talk about each one. You brought up Mycorrhizae Pro. What I love about Mycorrhizae Pro is that's expanding the functionality of the roots that are there. So in tandem, if you're growing new roots, increasing root mass in function with the azo in those spring, fall time periods, then you're coming in through the rest of the season in your June, July, August with Mycorrhizae Pro. That is a mycorrhizal inoculant is coating is growing on the outside of those roots to expand their function, their ability to uptake nutrients, water, and thrive. So the two will work in tandem. Other stimulants, with some of our work at Virginia Tech showed a molasses product there that in addition, if you add this, you will get a subsequent benefit for that. So what I think is happening is you're further priming the microbes as they're in the spray tank there. You're giving them a little food source to begin their life, is growing on the outside of those roots to expand their function, their ability to uptake nutrients, water, and thrive. So the two will work in tandem. Other stimulants, with some of our work at Virginia Tech showed a molasses product there that in addition, if you add this, you will get a subsequent benefit for that. So what I think is happening is you're further priming the microbes as they're in the spray tank there. You're giving them a little food source to begin their life, to give them better success rates for colonization in those days as they're attaching to roots where they're going to start to do their work.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the different mechanisms of action, so to speak, right? So you mentioned that Mycorrhizae Pro is serving kind of as an extension of the root system. This is working in a different way to stimulate direct root growth within the plant. I mean, maybe touch a little bit on the azospermillin bacterium itself. Like, how is it stimulating plant root growth? What is it doing once it gets on or into the plant to achieve that root growth stimulation?
Yeah, so this microbe is one that has actually multiple ways that it can help with the root growth. And I think what I've seen in the literature is referred to as the multiple mechanism hypothesis, because there's not really any one function that is attributed to all of the benefits that are seen. But the two primary ones that are described for azospermillin are the microbe's ability to fix atmospheric nitrogen into a form that's available to the plant. So it can take nitrogen from the air and make it into an ammonium source where the plant can then actually get access to it. And so it has the potential to increase nitrogen availability for the plant. And then the other thing that it can do is it can produce plant growth hormones. Azospermillin is known to produce multiple of these plant growth hormones, in particular auxin, which does have an impact on promoting new root growth. And so if you look at some of the work that was done, I think it was done in the mid-70s, where they looked at sort of the root morphology after application of azospermillin, you see that there's an increase in sort of the lateral root growth and these root hairs. And what that does is it increases the surface area of the root so that more nutrients can be transported into the plant. And so you kind of get this multiple benefit, right, where they're promoting new root growth and they can make nitrogen available, but then they can also allow, you know, more nutrients to be absorbed by the plant. And so it really helps the plant to grow. Those are probably the two most well-documented ways that this particular microbe promotes plant growth.
And Becky, is this, I think I know the answer to this, but just for the audience sake, I mean, the amount of work and research that's gone into this azospermillin bacterium, this is somewhat ubiquitous across many, many different plant species, not just turf grass, but dicots and ornamentals and all sorts of things, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, there's definitely an application here for professional horticultural production. This organism is being used in that front for your other ornamentals around the course. If you've got a couple of trays of petunias and such, you're going to be planting those. I would spray them as well. So it's not host specific, though we're targeting turf because of its high value here. There are other plants that will benefit from application of azo. And so it's a neat evolutionary story in that this microbe, what does it need? It needs the carbohydrates that are being released by plant roots. So it has found a way to stimulate more growth so that its population can thrive, and then the plant thrives in turn by getting atmospheric nitrogen fixed in usable form and these plant growth hormones that stimulate new roots. So it's a cycle that's how it's been well defined. It's just getting those high numbers of fresh microbes, which the azo root packaging system delivers.
It seems to me like the azospermum is inherently motivated to see its host succeed and survive, and then thereby it helps perpetuate its own existence. So the two work in that, I guess, symbiotic relationship, such that each one is successful.
I think that's a perfect way to describe it.
So one of the questions that I've had come up in exploring this this concept and this product is, you know, we can put out synthetic auxins or IAA or plant growth hormones, right, to try to stimulate this rooting response within a plant. And to some degree, we can have success with that. And there are many products out there that do this. So can you guys maybe touch on the advantage of using a living organism to stimulate this that may occur more, not necessarily in perpetuity, but for a longer period of time, because this thing is living and creating this function over the course of time versus spraying out at a single time point, a synthetic hormone, and it's usually gone from that system and breaks down pretty quickly. Maybe just real quick, touch on the difference between a living organism versus a synthetic hormone stimulant.
I think for the living, two things come to mind, and you hit upon them. Direct association with a root. So I am in direct contact. If anything that I apply, it's going to move into or past that that root system. It's going to have a life before it is used and degraded. So I have this organism directly in contact with my roots, delivering it over time, continuously. So that's the benefit there. It's just a slow and steady delivery here to deliver the root responses that we have seen and been so happy to realize. Great, Becky, yeah. Anything else on that front?
No, I think you hit that. You're really on the head there. These bacteria are known to actually attach themselves to the root. So it's not just that they're living near the root. They actively live on the root. And so they will attach to it in what's called a biofilm. And so they live there, and then they're able to produce these molecules sort of in a continuous way. And like you mentioned, there's sort of an interaction that's happening between the plant root and the microbe, and it's to both of their benefit. You've got the plant giving the microbe carbon, and then you've got the microbe saying, oh, I want you to keep growing more roots because you're basically giving more food to me. And so that interaction happens. And so you'll have this sort of continuous release, I guess, of these plant growth hormones that are going to be right where they need to be, versus something that you're applying that will get washed away, will break down from that single application.
I think it would also be delivering the perhaps ideal concentration of these auxins to the plant relative to our synthetic guessing game.
Yeah. Great point.
Application rate.
This thing has evolved over millennia to know what that ideal concentration is to stimulate root growth, correct? So, yeah, it's a great point, Raymond.
And to build, I guess, off of that, azospirillum was first discovered in the 1920s, and it is isolated from the soil. Every single azospirillum species that's been discovered is isolated from the soil. And so, yes, it has evolved to live in that environment.
Based on some of the research and, I guess, doing the literature review within the research that's been done, and survivability, I mean, this thing can be successful in all different soil types. I mean, a lot of golf courses, for instance, putting greens are manufactured root zones, very sand-based soil systems. And so based on either the direct work that you all have done, but also the research papers that are out there, this thing seems to be, it has good survival rates within any of these soil types, as far as you can tell.
I'll let you take this one, Becky.
I was just going to say, I don't know that anybody's done a survivability. I haven't seen a study that looks at different soil types, I guess. I do see that there are, you know, instances where it's described as coming out of various soils. But I think, you know, like I mentioned, this is an active root colonizer. So it's not necessarily free living in the soil. Its preference is to live on the root.
Sure.
And so, you know, once it's delivered into the soil where the roots are, that's where it's going to go, and that's where it's going to survive.
There hasn't been work done looking at long-term persistence studies. They have, Shomo Mitra did some neat work in 2001, defining what is the application rates, interval frequency, and then colonization of, you know, recovery of these organisms from roots. And he found indeed that they do persist. It's do they persist at a high enough concentration for long enough? That's where our repeat applications are necessary. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think in time we will learn how do the populations change in our turf root zone, and that'll help us further dial in the specifics on application frequency.
So I think we're getting towards the end of our time here. Any final thoughts, Raymond? Burning questions you may have on the Azo root product?
We've done our work with it, and we're excited about this offering. Phil or Becky, is there any new work that's been done on your end, perhaps that'll help drive the success in our understanding of what we're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, the two studies, I mean, two pieces that we've been working on. As I mentioned earlier, we co-funded a large trial at Virginia Tech. And in that trial, using creeping bentgrass, we measured, through applications, taking bacterium the azo that was grown in this live microbe, unique packaging system, applied at the same rate that you're going to be spraying out on your courses, your professional turf management fields and like, and we measured significant increases in root growth, length, mass, viability, significant improvements in turf quality, color, quality, chloroplast content, and also physiological fitness there. So looking at the photochemical efficiency of the plants, that was significantly improved by azo applied on a 14-day regime as well as a 28-day. So those pieces really were our checkpoint, our proof of concept. We were able to confirm the prior work of Mitra in our recent trial of this past year. Then working with the superintendents, this is a brand new concept. They've never seen anything like this. I liken it to baking a loaf of bread. You've got to plan yesterday for what you want today. And so I think it's a fun sort of experiment. It couldn't be made any easier. You take the safety ring off this cap, you give it a turn, it doses in that primer amount of freeze-dried bacterium, it comes to life. In a couple of days, you're ready to go, and it gives you that flexibility that, hey, between day 3 and 28, I have to spray this.
Yeah, I can tell you, we certainly appreciate the partnership. I mean, the innovation from 3Bar is impressive. It's exciting. We appreciate the partnership with Harrell's. I know Raymond and I and Jeff, we're excited to continue to do more work with not only the Azo Spirillum packaging innovation, but also, again, in the future, as Raymond touched on, any of the other number of microbes that could benefit from this unique packaging system. So again, appreciate you guys coming on. I think this is definitely a unique and exciting product for our industry, and we're looking forward to getting this into the market here very soon. So Dr. Dwyer, Dr. Wagner, thanks very much.
Thank you both. Glad to be part of it.
Thank you. I am too.
That wraps up our interview with Dr. Williams Wagner and Dr. Dwyer. A sincere thank you to the 3Bar team for their time. This show would not be possible without the willingness and cooperation of folks across our industry who are eager to share their stories. Turf Dudes exists to communicate important research findings and turf management trends to turf grass managers as part of Harrell's mission to grow a better world. If you enjoy the show, we want your feedback. If you have a topic you'd like for us to address or a person you would like to hear from, please send it to us at turfdudes@harrells.com. That's turphdudes@harrells.com. While you're at it, you can subscribe to our show on iTunes, YouTube Music, or SoundCloud. We'll see you next time.